Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to be joined by David Satter, a man that I've come to regard over the years as one of the really serious authorities about Russia, actually the Soviet Union before it. And he has chronicled the similarities between the two, particularly under Vladimir Putin, and the continuing threats that we face from that quarter through his writings, including several incredibly important best-selling books, the most recent of which was It Was a Long Time Ago, and It Never Happened Anyway, Russia and the Communist Past. He's also the author of a forthcoming book out in May, The Less You Know, the Better You Sleep, Russia's Road to Terror and Dictatorship under Yeltsin and Putin. He's also the director of a prize-winning film, Age of Delirium, the author of countless other essays, and, of course, serves as a very accomplished journalist at the Financial Times in the past, with, again, deep knowledge of and great affection for, I think it's fair to say, the Russian people, but also great, great concern about their government. David Satter, welcome back. It's good to have you with us as always.
Oh, thank you, Frank.
Well, Russia is back in the news in a fashion, and I'd like to tease out with you a couple of reasons why. For one thing, we're learning more about what Vladimir Putin has been doing to his enemies at home and abroad. Talk a little bit about that, if you would.
Well, we've had the decision in the Litvinenko case in London where the judge found that Putin was probably the person who ordered the murder of Alexander Litvinenko, the former FSB agent who was the victim of a nuclear poisoning in London in 2006. This is actually no surprise. Anyone who knows the structure of the situation in Russia would have been well aware, or should have been well aware, that only Putin could have given such an order. But nonetheless, it was important because this was the first time that an official body has found Putin guilty or has stated that Putin is probably guilty of murder. And the reason for that was because all the other investigations of Putin's crimes have been carried out by institutions that Putin controlled. But in this case, we had a British inquiry, and as a result, the possibility of coming up with a real verdict. What we've seen in this country, in the U.S., and we've seen this in the Donald Trump campaign, and we've seen it with other people, is that there's a lack of awareness of the degree to which the Russian government can hide its crimes. When those crimes are mentioned, people say, as Trump said, that, well, where's the proof? They don't understand that in a system in which the judges, prosecutors, and police are all controlled by the person who's committed the crime, you're not going to
find
proof.
There's no proof.
Yeah, you're not going to find proof. That doesn't mean there isn't overwhelming evidence, as there is. And for any fair-minded person, the record of Putin's crimes is clear.
Yeah. We've had some trouble getting that clarity, though, particularly in our government. You've mentioned Donald Trump as an aspiring commander-in-chief, but the present commander-in-chief and his former Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, have made a pretty thorough hash-up of all of this as well. Talk a little bit about that, David Satter.
Well, let's go back to the Litvinenko case. Litvinenko was murdered in 2006 under circumstances in which it was really clear, even without the British inquiry, that he had been assassinated by the Russian leadership. I mean, who is capable of organizing the transport of a radioactive isotope across international borders and planning such an elaborate assassination? It had to be, of course, an intelligence service. The isotope is only produced in a few places and is extremely dangerous to transport. So there was evidence as a result of the murder of Anna Politkovskaya, the murder of the hostages in the Beslan school siege, the 2002 Moscow theater siege where the hostages were gassed, and of course, most important of all, the 1999 apartment bombings which brought Putin to power. Now, despite the massive evidence, despite the efforts of people to call attention to what really happened, the Obama administration came into office and decided that the source of the problems in U.S.-Russian relations were the policies of George Bush, and they began the reset policy. Now, I'm not sure that Hillary Clinton was a principal architect of that policy, but she accepted it, one of the most important policies of the Secretary of State, without thinking. And
she certainly was involved directly in executing that policy, for sure.
She was involved in executing a policy she didn't understand. And this, of course, goes to the question of her expertise and her judgment and wisdom. The fact that she's had 4 years as Secretary of State does count as experience. It doesn't count necessarily as positive experience.
Yeah, that's right. Bad experience for the country.
You know, there's a joke. There was a joke of two stands where people were giving advice. One was offering advice for $5. The other was offering good advice for $10. You know, you can get it.
Good experience. That's a great line. David Satter, let me turn to one other aspect of this that, again, with your long experience both as an observer of Russian activities and the Kremlin under both Soviet and Russian leadership, information operations. To what extent do you see what is happening along these lines that you've just described, misplaced policies and poor execution, poor understanding of them, and so on, as at least in part a function of successful Russian influence operations, whether it's through Russia Today or Sputnik or other outlets?
I think those information operations are more accompanying factors rather than the driving factor in unsuccessful U.S. policy, for example. I think the driving factor is quite honestly the success of the Russians at an official level of manipulating their Western counterparts and playing on the fact that the Westerners don't have serious knowledge of the country they're dealing with. And that's been the case. They've been successful in doing that, and we've had really egregious mistakes. For example, we had a commission called the McFall-Surkoff Commission on Civil Society. This was set up within the framework of the reset policy that was initiated by Obama.
This is Michael McFall, the former U.S. ambassador to Moscow.
Yes, and principal advisor to so-called father of reset, principal advisor to Obama on Russia. Vladislav Surkoff, the Russian co-chair of this commission, is in fact the organizer of policies for suppressing civil society. So we were then becoming, through the existence of such a nonsensical commission, complicit actually in the suppression of the very thing we were trying to, in theory, preserve and encourage. But when the Russians see political motives on the part, there was a strong political motive on the part of the administration to distinguish themselves, so they thought, from George Bush. Now, it's not to say that Bush didn't make mistakes, but he was certainly not responsible for everything wrong in the world, and far from it.
Right. And what has been done since he left office, I should say.
That's a whole other chapter, compounded
these problems. David, we have to leave it at that for the moment. But we're delighted that you're back in the United States, and we look forward to visiting with you often to catch up on developments of the moment and the longer term trends. And it's so important that we get this right.
That I'll be glad to do that, Frank.
Terrific. We'll talk with you again soon, my friend. We'll talk with the rest of you again, I hope, on Monday. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.